Hunter's Day.
Hello and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls have the Winter's Day Orphans' best interests in their hearts.
We do.
We do. We really do. Even though both of us are a little busy when Winter's Day drops. So those orphans are going to have to hang on for a couple extra days. But we love you. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
I'm Hashtag. And I am joined by Alona. Hello, Alona.
Hi, Hashtag. I was still laughing about that intro.
Before we get started, a reminder that you can get in touch with us with questions, comments, or just for funsies by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. So first up is Chivo's, where we go over what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2 blank. Would you like to start us off? Oh, gosh. Yeah. So we our show notes are really professional tonight. That should say Alona. Would you like to start us off?
I sure would. I have been continuing to play through the Char personal story with Gildy and friend Panther. And the last time we played, we finished the level 10 story step. And it sounds like, I can't remember now, but it sounds like the next step starts like at level 20 or something. This is a big gap without any direction.
Well, but if you think about it, normally that's like the key farm jump.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so the Char personal stories are good, and I'm enjoying them quite a bit. And it's fun to go through the game. I mean, obviously, we still have whatever is unlocked on our account, but we're not leveling up using tomes or anything necessarily. So it's nice to just do that organically.
Here's where I confess. Mm-hmm. I have never done the Char personal story. I don't own a Char.
They're not pets. Chars aren't pets.
They're so fluffy. I don't have a character slot.
Well, they'll probably go on sale again for Winter's Day. And the Norn and Char storylines are both really quite excellent. They're all good. I enjoy them all, actually. I've actually been spending time in the new map.
Should we be shocked?
You should be shocked. I'm like, oh, I finally got map completion on this map that dropped 3 years ago. And you're like, oh, Alona. And I go, I know. And then we proceed. But I've actually been trying to stay on top of the Chivos, which is, a first. And a few times I did it all by myself, like just in the map and kind of keeping track of stuff and trying to stay on top of them. But twice, I wrote twice here, but then we actually went in today. So three times with my good buddy Hashtag. We tried to bundle up and get Chivos done together.
Oh, I like that word choice there, because we literally did bundle up.
That's
in
true.
Our outfits. Yeah. Oh,
I was like, where is she going with this? Hashtag and I also spent a fair amount of time changing Mock's guild emblem for cape reasons.
I have to say, I think proportionally we may have spent about 40% of our game time together the past couple weeks playing with. We were on for a long time.
It was maybe 40 minutes for
No, yes. It was a couple hours.
Can't have been. Well, it didn't feel like it. In any event, so we've had one of the original Quaggan emblems forever. That was the Mox guild emblem for the longest time, and they've added so many new ones. So we went through, and we ended up going with the Choya Pinata. We waffled on whether we wanted something more serious or keep it lighthearted. And lighthearted.
We went lighthearted.
Lighthearted.
We tried. We really tried. So I feel like the second place one was the dragon with the egg. And we tried a lot of different die combinations. We thought it was kind of good.
Yep.
And then we went back to the Choya and realized this is us. We just need to admit it.
This is us. It's so different than the Netflix series. Festy said we ruined her plan for a Quaggan meta fashion build. Well, I'm not saying we won't go back to it at some point because it doesn't cost anything to change them.
Yes. And now I have the power to change them.
Yes. I also may have made hashtag co-guild leader at the same time. I was like, all right, can't all, I'm terrible at this on my own. Let's have someone else in here. And we also spent some time setting up a couple gear and build templates for our mains because we hadn't really played around with that too much. And I, well, at your suggestion, because you were going to the meta battle site to mm-hmm. get the template code. So I tried that for Mirage and plunked it in. I need, oh man, I've forgotten everything about Mirage. I have no idea how to play it. I don't know what half the things do anymore. I'm button mashing again. It's a thing. It's terrible.
I was getting the code for the Reaper build, and I have not played Reaper in, what is it now, 2 years? So
yeah,
it feels like you're dancing with two left feet. Like, it just doesn't feel good.
And on yet. One of your elbows.
Yes.
Like, it's just not. I need to go through. I really like the fact that you can plunk a template code in and it just, everything changes. At the same time, I feel like I need to actually read through and figure out the synergies for myself.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Because I feel a little lost. Now, granted, there are the like raid builds or some of the other ones that where they explain the rotations, but the PvE builds don't really have rotations. So then it's up to you to kind of figure
button mash.
Out. Well, yeah, and I am button mashing, and and I think I need to figure out something where there's more of a distance attack as well, because it's sword main hand on one and axe main hand on the other one, and I'm not really feeling like I have a whole lot of
I need some range.
I mean, I do have a pistol offhand, but I have to do pistol then close the gap super fast.
So
I haven't quite figured that out.
It's pretty active play style there.
It is. And I'm starting just late last night, early today. I was starting to kind of get the groove of it again, but still not super great. So
is that a PvP build or PvE?
It's a PvE. It is. It's one of, I think it has like 4.5 or 5 stars. It's one of the very popular PvE Mirage builds. So I just need to get better. That's all. Get good, noob. So that's about it for me. I feel like I've done more. Like, I've just been trying to chug through some more Chivos. Oh yeah, because I did Dragonfall last night too to get a couple things there. I need to do
more. I just want to say, this was when we had decided we're done for the night pretty much. And I, like, my eyes were gluing shut, so I logged off and Alona apparently just kind of wandered over to Dragonfall to just kill 4 things and then ended up doing a bridge event and doing and unlocking the waypoint, and you just can't stop.
Oh yeah, and Zero's reminding me that I did the I'm in the process of getting the ancient boreal weapon collection done. I only need 2 more mm-hmm. of those weapons, but for the ones where they're the, so those are just skins, and the ones where you get the recipe and the upgraded version, you can actually buy those on the trading post. And I don't know if this is still true, but about a week ago ish it was basically a wash whether you crafted versus bought on the trading post. And so I just threw a bunch of money at it, a bunch of gold, and bought the entire set to finish that collection. So my goal of being over a certain amount of gold is greatly diminished.
Oh boy.
But I mean, it's in-game gold. It's there to be used.
That is true.
Yeah. And so that's it for me.
So I'm going to start out with a correction that Alona has very helpfully added to my
Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you about that.
Thank you. So last show, a couple times I mentioned particle shift, and doing some different activities with us during the week. And what I meant to say was alpha particle, different person than particle shift.
Yeah.
So I apologize, alpha particle. Hope you're listening. And we had a lot of fun with you. And that's what I'm going to say. All right. Next up, I ticked over to 21,500 Achievo points.
And hashtag, where are you in the guild standings now?
Well, Alona, I'm so glad that that you brought this up. I'm on the first page again. So, Frick, watch out. You're only 5,000 points away from me. So
she was crowing that she was 28 points ahead of Saint in the guild. And then she goes, I'm catching up to Frick, only 5,000 points behind. And she was talking about 28 points like it was insurmountable. Saint will never catch me now.
Oh, it was so bad. Last night, I was 1 point behind Saint, and I
two.
Did not...
It was 2 points.
Yeah, but then it was one, like the very ending.
Okay, fine.
I did not want to log off without having that final point.
We were going through all the achievements, trying to figure out, like, a point for this, you can get a point for that, you can do something else. What was it? I told you something in the end that was great that got
the
you...
The weapons.
Oh, was it the weapons? Yeah.
Yep. The weapons. Zero is saying that what I and Alona are saying is that Saint needs to get achievement hunting. Zero.
Saint hasn't logged on in like 4 or 5 months because they're getting their master's degree. So not a problem.
I value education, and that is the correct way to be spending time. And I need like another 100 points to feel comfortable. Because to be honest, when I was ahead of Frick, that was like my comfort zone. I get 100 points, 200 points ahead. I'd feel pretty good. Like, okay, there's not a lot of easy achievement points. But then was my summer of pain when I could barely log in. And then he
blew you away.
Well, because he's getting his dailies. And then also, if you remember, this was during festival time. So I didn't, like, the first time they brought back Festival of the Four Winds, and I wasn't able to be on at all. So all of those kind of limited achievements that are annual or not, that are not annual, they're perennial, like the ones that you can. So they're gone. But anyway, major point here is 21,500 achievement points. And I got my 2 gold in my little box.
And then you were also very confused. Like, how did I get this? It was one of the Orichalcum.
Oh, yeah.
Thingamabobs. What are they called? The inscribed. Yeah. For your weapons. And you're like, how did I get that? And I said, aha, that was what I was telling you about. Zero had pointed this one out to me. I think it's both collections, both the Boreal and the Restored. The upgraded version, they've done something really, if you haven't gone and looked at those two achievements, or maybe just the one, I'm drawing a blank now. You know how normally you get the achievement done and you get a reward and there might be achievement points per tier. There is way more achievement points. Like the Boreal weapon one, I think it's 27 AP to finish it.
So good.
And you are getting rewards frequently, like just like small, like the inscriptions, I think it is, right?
So good.
And other things and ingots, and you get all these, like, there's like tons of rewards.
It feels like you're not just throwing money away at an achievement point.
Just the point. Yeah, you're getting more than just that.
And getting stuffs.
Yeah, it's great. So thumbs up or read it out. We haven't really talked about that, and we probably should have talked about it last show, but we didn't because I didn't know about it. And I really
know.
If this is an experiment you're doing, I'm very pro this.
Carry on. Yes.
Yeah.
I am slowly making my way through the Bajora March's achievements. This is not normal for me. So Alona and I have kind of done a swap. Yes, normally, I power through when we get an update, a patch, I will power through the map, get map completion. I'll do a ton of achievements and, you know, try to get done quickly while the map is still really active and lots of people are in there and it's still very fresh. I want to say, you know, I played it when it came out. I was a little disappointed that it took me, you know, like half an hour to unlock the map. And then I kind of lost interest in it a little bit because it just felt kind of like that's it. So I didn't I didn't go in very much over the next couple weeks. But then, I don't know, like half a week or two ago, Alona and I were both on, and Alona was talking about how she's been working through the achievements. And I looked back at the achievement panel, realized, hey, there's some interesting achievements here. So, I've been slowly working my way through them. Last night, I got all the way to the end of the Hunter. This is where you have to get the food and then you turn it into
the hunger.
Yeah. And you turn it into the, I think it's
Codan.
Codan. Yep. I know words. in the hut in the bottom left-hand corner of the map. And so we're tooling away. I'm almost done. And the bone skinner comes up and we take down the bone skinner. It's great. Fantastic. Wonderful. And then I go to the hunter and realized that I had to turn in the previous thing, which was still in my bag, and then go kill the bone skinner. So had to wait till today to get that done. But I did get it done tonight. So I got that done. Then I also got done the achievement for killing the champions that spawn around the map.
Yeah,
so finally got that done.
I still have one. I have to get the... it's the Codan.
Mm-hmm. So he pops up.
And?
Yeah. So he pops up right after the snowstorm. And he's like, when you go into the area that unlocks after the snowstorm, he's right to the right. So if you pop in there. And he's usually the first one that people take on. What was really nice when I was working on these champions was the map was really responsive. So,
yes.
You know, Alone and I tried to take down the champion Skelk on our own
with the button mashing,
and we thought, like, I don't know, there was like 3.5 minutes left on the timer, and we just kind of jumped right in. We failed, we both died. So then the next time Skelk popped up, I just kind of mentioned in chat, hey, doing the champion Skelk, could use some help, and people came. And then tonight when I was doing the Berserker, and then when I was doing another one, and I mentored up and just posted in chat, people came. So no excuses, guys. Go get those champions.
Yeah, except for the one that I need to do, which I have to wait for a very specific time.
That's true.
And we're also working our way through the Raven Sanctum.
So. Oh, yes.
And I am the peanut gallery of between the two choices, because I am very clear that there's a right choice for these.
This is the thing. Like, you know, so there's 8 different possible combinations of answers. And this really appeals to me because it's, you know, like binary and you've got 3 different options. And so there's 8 different versions. And it's a really cool puzzle. And you have to do all the different combinations possible. So we're following the wiki and, you know, we're doing this for achievements. But it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter how many times we've already done the same one. Alona will have a moment and say, no, there is a right choice. And here's why there is a right choice. And doesn't matter that the previous night, we had gone through this before and done the same thing before, because no, there's a right choice. You are very opinionated
about
this. In your Raven choices.
My Raven choices. Welcome to my husband's life, because I'm like this about a lot of really moronic things. Where I'm like, this shouldn't matter and I will have opinions.
Oh, boy.
And I will go over them repeatedly.
Well, let's just gut check here.
Okay.
So first option, save the hunter, save the healers.
See, this one I am a little more iffy on because to me, it's not clear that if you save the hunter, that the healers aren't also saved. So that one I'm a little confused by in general.
Yeah, I'm also a little ambivalent on that one, but I tend to veer towards saving the hunter.
Yeah.
All right. So the book of history or the book of magic.
Yeah. The book of history, which is irreplaceable, versus something that could potentially help you, which is then saying, without this, there's a potential for failure. Well, potential, but there's also lots of very smart people in the world. Who knows? You get a group think together, you might not need that book. You could still have a chance to succeed, but this object is irreplaceable. Irreplaceable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I also went with the history tome as my first choice. So I hear you. The thing is, I agree with Alona and she still keeps going. So,
And then the last one.
The last one. So this is Save the Queen or Save the Prince.
So the prince who is young and petulant, untested, is going to lose their only guidance that loves them. Or the queen who has ruled long and steadily and wisely. They very clear about that. And there's no guarantee that she's like, yeah, she's elderly. But I mean, what does that mean? That could mean like
save
she's
the
in her.
Queen.
Yeah.
So save you, the queen.
So you save the. So and then it's like, oh, but then if you save the queen, the world, the realm will fall into chaos because there's no heir. I'm like, OK, but she's wise. She's got time to figure out a plan for the future. Why are you saying it's going to fall into chaos? That's an absolute that we don't know about.
Oh my god. This is just getting Alona wound up. Like this she can go on and on and on. So if you ever want to hear a true Alona classic, you just get in the Raven Sanctum with her and
it'll just be this on repeat.
Or, you know, just be on Discord with her when she's doing the Raven. You don't even have to do it with her.
It's true. The first one, I don't understand the first one, though. The first one doesn't make any sense to me. And as Festy and Chad is saying, why can't the healers heal themselves?
A good point.
You know, so anyway, that one I'm like, I think the first time I did Save the Hunter, because I felt that like that was what's the bad.
The right choice.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? But like, I'm not sure how that means that the healers are being attacked, but okay.
Yeah, that also was not clear to me. I felt like the other two, it was a little bit more clear what the downsides were. But that one was just a little iffy. I don't know. All right.
If they can't heal themselves, they aren't good healers and they deserve to die. Thank you, Festy. I feel like Festy and I could just rant about the Raven Sanctum choices together.
That's true. It would be fascinating. I would listen to that show. All right. So finally, to bring us back to the show notes, I winterized my outfit. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not wearing an outfit. I'm wearing armor.
Yeah.
And so I have a bunch of different pieces on. And then this year I also added the mantle that is, I think it's Bram's.
Yes.
Like the wolf. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing my shoulders, which I don't normally do visible shoulders. So that's new for me. And then this is big for me. I converted some of my hard earned gold to gems and I bought the earmuffs.
Yeah, 25 gems. She's like, you never guess what I did. I bought something from Gemstar. I'm like, okay, well, she goes, I bought the earmuffs. I'm like, but that's like no gems. They might as well be free.
The conversation was a lot more involved. It was a lot. Okay. It was like, wait, did you buy the cape? Did you buy this outfit? Did you buy a character slot? Did you do, wait, no,
oh, get bank slot?
Bank tab. Thought, yeah. And no, earmuffs. But they look good. So it was worth it. And it's fun. And I feel very festive. So that's what I have been up to.
And then you inspired me to winter's day eyes, Alona's armor as well. So went through and I didn't have to buy anything though. I just used the stuff that I had.
Yep.
And now it's time for Post of Ascalon, where we recap the news for Guild Wars 2. So there wasn't a patch this week. There were a couple things for the gem store, but last week it was actually a fairly sizable patch that we weren't really, there were things in there that we weren't expecting. We were expecting the balance patch. but there were a significant number of quality of life updates. For the wardrobe, new checkboxes have been added to each weapon, giving players the option to hide their weapon when it's stowed. And I read this before I logged into game, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But you were super jazzed about that hashtag.
I was so jazzed, so excited, because I have the supposed scepter, which is quite a look. I don't really match the supposed scepter in my normal hashtag looks. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't want to reskin it, and I don't want to not use it. So it feels really good to be able to put it away when I'm not in combat and just be able to look at myself and feel at peace with the color scheme. And also for screenshots, it's really nice. So mm-hmm. Bravo.
Yeah, I actually quite like it. Like I said, when I first read this, I was thinking, well, okay, like that's nice, I guess. Like I didn't really give it a whole lot of thought. And then mm-hmm. I tried it just the other night with Alona. I'm like, actually, I really do like this. This is quite nice, especially when you have a very specific aesthetic or look that you're going for, like exactly. Winter's Day or something, where your regular stuff doesn't really match and it's fine. But yeah, I wonder how long that would have... I wonder where the impetus for that came from. Like, was it a suggestion on the forums or just someone at ArenaNet thinking, hey, you know what? This be neat.
I mean, it just seems like such an easy little win. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like you need those things, you know, like just a little... It's like when they... the last really big quality of life patch that I remember we got really excited about, I think, was the one where they added salvage all or deposit all or whatever.
Use you know, all you, or yeah.
Yes. Yes. All that, all those things. And it was like,
so good.
Yeah. Or the change where they made it so that you no longer had to hold down a key to view all of the, you know, all of the text on screen. So like, you know how before, like you had to hold down control or option or whatever
yeah.
to view all of the
interactable objects.
Yes. Interactable yeah. objects. And oh man, like I had a really strong pinky for about, you know, 3 years.
Just because of that.
Right. So I'm here for the quality of life updates.
Yeah. No, I love quality of life updates. And then the next one is Ascended Feasts have been added to Guild Storage in the Consumables tab. Guilds that have unlocked the tavern may speak to the tavern proprietor to deposit their crafted food for the guild's use. I should actually do this. I haven't done this yet.
Have not done.
Some looking for group categories have been reorganized for better readability. And I did notice it was different. It hasn't really affected one way or the other for me yet, but I also haven't been in there looking for things specifically.
So I went looking to try to see what was different. And I think it's one of those changes where it's not very noticeable what they've done, but mm-hmm. that's actually a good thing. If you know what I mean? Like they cleaned it up and you don't even notice really what's different, but it's better.
Yeah. No, I totally understand what you mean by that. Yeah. Leveling up and items that grant levels and experience now display a less noisy visual effect to other players.
So when we were talking about this, yeah, I was like half an hour ago, I was trying to parse this out and I had to do the sound effects. So I was like, wait, does that mean that when I'm at a vendor and I'm doing key farming and I want to get my character up, all the people next to me aren't hearing and seeing the shwing? Shwing, shwing.
repeatedly.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's good.
It is nice. Build and equipment templates last used in PvE, World versus World, and PvP will now be remembered and they will be automatically activated when returning to that game mode. And I kind of wish I hadn't gone. I don't think it does this, but I wish that the PvP builds I had set up prior to build templates were in there and World versus World.
Right, because you lost however you had that set up originally.
Yeah. Then again, it's been so long since I've done either seriously that it's starting from scratch anyway. So yeah. It's not that big of a deal. Changing equipment templates will now equip the correct weapons rather than cause players to swap to their second weapon set. I don't know what this is about necessarily because I didn't really play with equipment templates prior to like basically yesterday.
Same.
Yeah. PvP weapons, sigils. Ooh, wait, what am I doing? There we go. PvP weapons, sigils, amulets, and runes have been integrated into equipment templates, allowing players to customize their PvP equipment while outside of PvP game modes. I'm having problems with PvP today. Ooh. So a button has been added to the equipment section of the hero panel that allows players to toggle between viewing standard equipment and PvP equipment. And there's a note, because equipped weapons are shared between all game modes, they are displayed in both views. So have you heard anything? Oh, I'll read the last bullet point here. PvP equipment can also be quickly accessed by clicking the existing PvP build button while in the PvP lobby or by using the PvP build keybind. So I do remember when build and equipment and gear templates first came out, and one of the criticisms that I had heard was about the difficulty for PvP players and how if you go into PvP and if you forget to switch your build.
Right. It's cumbersome. Yeah.
Yeah. And also being able to set the PvP stuff outside of PvP is also pretty cool, I think. So I'm wondering, I haven't heard anything about like the reaction or the reception that the PvP community has towards this. I don't know if it's working for them or if it's not enough. I haven't heard anything about that. So
I don't know. I haven't heard either. Yeah. So
Mist champions have been integrated into the PvP panel and now have a much larger character preview. So those are only it's a stronghold, right? They're the only ones that use the Mist champions.
Is that the only one still? That's SPVP?
Yeah. I think. Because all functionality has been moved to other menus, the old PvP build / equipment panel has been retired. Are you playing taps for the PvP build equipment panel?
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty then. Dynamic HUD has been added to the game. Dynamic heads-up display gives players the ability to show or hide parts of the UI while in or out of combat. The UI can also be set to always be hidden. A new section within the General Options tab of the Options panel has been added to control dynamic HUD. I'm saying that the HUD HUD heads up display. I'm saying it every way possible. Components of the UI have been grouped into related sections. Several presets are available for players to choose from, or players can individually control the behavior of each section. So the presets are always show, which is default, always hide all, combat, which only shows combat-related UI when you are engaged in combat. Dynamic context shows and hides different elements based on whether you are in or out of combat. Explorer is a balanced section of elements that show or hide based on being in or out of combat. Immersive only shows minimal combat-related UI while in combat and hides all other UI elements. And then there's custom, which is you can go through menu, skill, mount skill, bars, objectives, compass, rewards, party, chat panel, target, and competitive. And those are, there's like a variety of options between all those. I have to say, I was pretty excited when I read the patch notes and this was in there. And the actual implementation is actually very different from what I was expecting, because when I read that, because I was at work, obviously, so I'm mostly skimming. And I was pretty excited when I skimmed that. And I thought it would be more like Guild Wars 1, where you go in and you can like edit your heads up display and then you could move things around. And this one, everything still needs to stay in the place it's supposed to stay in, but you can just turn it on or off or have it like appear in certain instances. I still like it. Like, it's still a really nice feature. And I think I went with custom, and I can't remember, there was two things I had to hide in combat. And then the objectives and There was one other, the menu bar. I have hide in combat, and then everything else, I just left the always show.
That makes sense. So, yeah, you'll have to let us know how that works out for you, because I have mine still set to default. So
I can't decide if it would be distracting for those to go away once I enter combat, or if, do you know what I mean? Like when you have movement or motion on screen that you're...
Yeah, I'm just a little worried about objectives, because sometimes the objectives are tied to the combat. Like,
I hadn't thought about that.
Like when you need to like get, you're looking up to see how much further you need to, you know, progress in order to finish the objective, or, you know, I'm not quite sure what it means by objectives. What will be there and what won't be there? Will it only be the things that are like dailies and stuff like that? Or
that's what I would think, but now you have me questioning that. I don't know.
So we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the general section. Capes have been added to the game as a new type of back item skin. The first cape, the basic guild cape, is available from guild commendation traders.
You grudgingly spent money on this.
Gold. I was super excited about this. I saw this. I texted Alona, and I thought she would be thrilled with this. She was not as excited.
I wasn't like angry about it, though.
No, you weren't angry about it, but you weren't like caps. I was like all caps. But I think it's because I did not have as much experience with Guild Wars 1, so I have not had, you know, fun with capes. That has not, you know, been much of my gameplay. But I really like how they've done this. I like that there's dye channels. I think if there hadn't been dye channels, it would have been a little kind of eh. Mm-hmm. So I have my cape currently dyed to match my Winter's Day outfit. And it's got a happy little Troya on the back. And I'm not quite sure. There's a couple of things. So when I'm in my... when I'm in my fighting stance, my cape stands out behind me at like this awkward 45 degree angle.
And that's
it's close. It's very harsh. As in like, if I move around, it feels very stiff. Like it's just there. But then once like I'm standing still and it kind of flutters down, and then it's okay again. There's definitely that mode where it's like, stand to attention. Yep. Cape is ready for combat.
Yeah, I actually do really like them. So I pulled up the text you sent. You went, capes! With 4 exclamation marks. And then, happy dance, happy dance, happy dance is the next message. And then I replied, whispers, I don't really care about capes, but I'm glad they're being added for those who do.
So diplomatic.
And then like an hour or 2 hours later, when I was actually in game, I said, okay, these look pretty good. So,
and it's really what led to us doing our guild emblem
redo.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we wanted something a little more symmetrical.
And it wasn't just that. It was actually when it was on the cape, it was kind of hard to see. It was kind of muddy. Like it was hard blob. Yeah, the quaggin was not clearly defined. Mm-hmm. So we wanted a little bit more definition.
Yeah.
Moving on to the living world. Bajoran Marches. Storms of Winter. Increase the maximum scaling of the Defeat the Ice Brood construct before it reaches Havrun. Oh boy.
Weeb.
YB? Weeb? Weeb?
I'd say Weeb.
Weeb? Really?
I would. I might be wrong, but that's how I'd say it.
Okay. I'm going to try that again. Defeat the Ice Brood construct before it reaches Havrun Weeb, and defend Raven Shrines to keep energy flowing to Havrun Weeb events. This is represented in-game by increased health when there are high player counts. When player counts are low, health will not be impacted.
I have no idea what anything this means.
It
means there's a lot of words there, and I understand what they mean individually.
Okay, so when the construct, when the Ice Brood construct is there, which is the legendary that you try to pin down with chains, I'm guessing like as more people arrive, that scales up.
Okay.
But it's saying like when you have just a couple people there, it's not going to scale way down. So there's still that element of you do need a group, but a really big group, we're going to buff up the challenge a little bit.
But
that's
but
how
not,
I take it.
But not to the point where it becomes insanely difficult and still takes forever.
Yeah. And to be quite honest, I have done the storm maybe like six or so times, and I only did it once or twice before this change. So I don't really remember if before, maybe the construct was going down too fast. And there is an achievement that happens when you rescue people who have been encased in ice or something like that.
Even yourself.
So yeah. So I wonder if people weren't able to get that, like if it was going too fast.
That could be. Here, I'm just going to paste the person's name in here. So chat, tell us how you'd say that. just type out.
Give us your like phonetic spelling. Moving on, the bonfires inside the Northeast prisoner camp and the Search Svanir camps for survivors event will now help against the blizzard. So I was just in the blizzard about 2 hours ago as I was playing, and I noticed these bonfires, and I was wondering, I didn't actually go try it out, but I was wondering about this. So now I'm happy to read this. It makes sense to me because it's kind of like...
They set precedence elsewhere in the game. Like
in
there's
the fractals.
The fractal, exactly. Yeah, there's where you go in, you go to the fire to get rid of your cold stack or whatever it's
exactly.
called.
Exactly. So that makes sense. We have one thing. Oh, thank you. Big Mikey Oko is giving us his interpretation of what we were saying, Havrun Weeb, and he's saying
Weeby.
Hey Vrone Weeby.
I think Havrun is, we hear them saying it in game, but so here's the thing.
Maybe it's like a southern accent, like Havrun Weeby.
Actually really like that. I want that to be what it is. it looks German to me, and I feel like in German it would be pronounced Weeb. But or Weeb.
So we're gonna go with Havrun Weeby.
You can.
So let it be written, so let it be done. All right. Items. We're only gonna talk about one of the items that was added, which is the feisty feline tonic. Reduced the maximum height of lunge. I do not know what this means, aside from Alona telling me that lunge is a skill that possibly relates to ranger.
Well, I did say that because I wasn't really paying attention to you when you asked, when you read this earlier. Now that I'm seeing it, the feisty feline tonic, lunge is one of the skills you get while you're transformed. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I need to see it because I'm still sort of understanding, but not fully.
Sorry, I'm reading chat. And so Zero saying you could map break with the tonic. So they've made it so that you can't. Oh, that's right. People were using the feisty feline. Yep. And also not only that, I do remember more about this now. You could also use it in jumping puzzles where they wouldn't allow you to use mounts. You could use the feisty feline tonic to like get places you shouldn't be able to get to and bypass a lot of the jumping puzzle.
Well, there you go.
So there we go. We talked it through and now I know what's
happening.
Shut
down. Yeah. All right. So, nope, this is Alona.
I was just going to let you roll with it. Moving on to profession skills. We just have a quick note before we jump into this section. We're going to just go over the high level rationale for each of the professions changes. Partly because we don't want to be here all night. And also because Wooden Potatoes and Boots did another one of their deep dive videos on the balance patch. And as always, it's great. So I think it's on Wooden Potatoes channel specifically. Check that out if you're interested. They go all in on all of the changes.
Know what they're talking about.
And they know what they're talking about. They do not button mash. I don't think that is, I think that is a safe assumption. So onto the notes, they say with a larger competitive focused update on the horizon, this update is on the smaller side, but still contains several notable systemic changes Falling damage traits are being removed in order to free up design space and reduce the complexity of adept tier traits. Revival traits are also seeing the removal of 10% revival speed passive effect that we've been slowly phasing out over the last several updates. In exchange, skills that directly revive allies are seeing enhancements. Besides these changes, we are also making some small touch-ups to various skills and traits related to previous updates that we felt didn't quite hit everything. We have also had the opportunity to add a couple of quality of life updates to better improve the readability of player attributes affected by traits, and we're now granting elementalists and engineers the ability to swap weapons while out of combat. Yay! Lastly, the format for some types of value updates is changing. Instead of listing the percentage difference, we'll be telling you what the coefficients before and after a change will be. We hope this will help improve readability significantly.
Except that we can't read it out loud.
But it says that, no, that's what it says. We hope this will help improve readability.
It does.
One of the biggest takeaways from this is the fact that elementalists and engineers are able to now swap. Like, you could always go in and like change weapons manually, but now you're going to have the weapon swap keybind work when you're not in combat. And I'm wondering if they will ever make it that it is swappable in combat and they're just trying this out. I'm curious about that. To see how much this changes things or not, or if this is where they're, as far as they're willing to go, because I'm pretty sure I've talked with you about it, that one of the things, I understand why they gave Revenant weapon swap, but it always bothered me that, you know, they brought in a heavy profession that couldn't weapon swap to line up with the light and the medium professions that also couldn't weapon swap.
It's not an alignment.
And I just, that lack of symmetry has always bothered me. I know why, but I almost wish that they had reworked Revenant to make the no weapon swap work. Do you know what I mean? Like, they did it because that the legendaries that they used for their mechanic wasn't quite robust enough to warrant not also having a weapon swap. So it's all or nothing for me. If you either let all professions weapon swap or have like one of each weight class not be able to weapon swap. But so anyway, I think I find it interesting that they're trying this.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. For general, Griffin Rook run while holding the bomb, falling damage is now reduced by 50%. And that is good. Mm-hmm. Traits that affect attributes now display icons that represent said attributes instead of a generic up arrow. I have no idea what that means.
I need to see this. So I like have a general sense of this up arrow icon on the bar. But I also feel like traits that affect attributes now displaying these icons, it's like, oh no, now there's other icons. Is it going to be more confusing because there's just more visual clutter, or will it be really
are the
obvious?
Existing icons that they're just repurposing for?
Maybe. Yeah.
And on to the professions for elementalists. They say in previous updates, several traits that had global cooldowns were changed to having cooldowns per target. Blinding Ashes wasn't included in those updates, but we felt it could use the small bonus to usability. And then there was a few changes. And actually, I will say they did say that this was a bit of a smaller update. And I was even reading that going through, I'm like, oh, this isn't like the wall of bullet points that we've been presented with recently.
Right. And there's definite themes. So even though we're not going through everything, almost everyone has, you know, fall damage has been removed. You know, the general, like, this thing has been increased, this thing has been decreased, like little tweaks here or there, but nothing major aside from the weapon swap.
Oh, actually, I do want to read this one. For engineer, we read your feedback on detection pulse feeling odd as the purge gyros tool belt skill and your desire to see Chemical Field returned. While we agree with the sentiment overall that there is more gameplay and interesting options with the Chemical Field, there is also important counterplay present with Detection Pulse. As we can't place Purge Gyro's Detection Pulse back on the Elite Tool Belt slot, we're instead replacing Utility Goggles' lackluster tool belt skill, Analyze, with Detection Pulse. Utility Goggles is also getting a small but significant change from granting Fury to instead granting some brief resistance. And for the weapon swap, it's starting at level 10. Engineers can now swap weapons while out of combat, gaining an additional pair of weapon slots on their hero panel. So if you play Engineer and this, you log in and wonder what the heck's going on, this is it.
This to me, like you were mentioning before with the construct, this to me is a lot of words that have individual meanings, but not much together for me.
Do you have an engineer?
No.
Well,
I have 5 character slots. Well, so
you could be like Inks and just delete your characters and start fresh again.
Need those birthday presents.
Well, there is that. For Guardian, Guardian is unique among professions in how many revival traits it has. With this rework, we are updating Courageous Return into a new, more general trait that benefits the Guardian in situations when reviving allies is not possible. Additionally, we're changing the healing power bonus on Signet of Mercy to a concentration bonus as we feel it's generally a more useful stat for the profession given the amount of boons it outputs, even when the Guardian is not acting as a healer. That is a long sentence.
There's so much here. I'm kind of full of wonder. You know, it's
full of wonder.
Yeah. So here's my armchair kind of dissection here of balance changes, right? Like, it's very easy to sit back and pick apart balance changes on Reddit or, you know, YouTube or whatever, Twitch. But as I look through all these things and the writing that they're, you know, what they're saying in these different descriptions, there's so many levers to pull. Mm-hmm. And trying to get it just right. It's not like playing a game of chess. It's like playing like a 4-dimensional game of chess where there's like
Star Trek chess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you change one thing and like you go up and down or diagonal or, you know, and mm-hmm. Yeah. So what a responsibility.
Yeah. And also different game modes too, to take into account, like at least they've split those out to take that right. level of pressure off. For Mesmer, while we think the new version of Chaotic Interruption is pretty powerful, it doesn't really feel like it's working if you aren't looking at your skill bar. We're adding some additional effects to give players a better sense of when it activates. And that's about it. Other than the fall damage and healing things.
Oh, wow. You crossed out everything.
I did. None of it was Chaotic Interruption. They've just added more effects. And everything else is either fixed issues or the aforementioned fall damage and healing. The end.
Picking up with the Necromancer, in addition to the updates to the revival skill Signet of Undeath and the falling damage trait Terrifying Descent, we are also revisiting a few issues from previous updates. Unholy Sanctuary is getting an update to help it better compete with the other updates to the Death Magic line. And Manifest Sandshade is having its recharge reduced in PvE to make it easier to reposition shades, which so, all sounds great to me.
Yeah, like because you mostly still run.
I only run
with the sand shades and everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So this is good stuff. For Ranger, we're reducing the recharge on allies' aid in PvE only, since we feel it is sufficiently powerful in competitive modes already.
And that's it.
That's it. Revenant is also short. We're bumping up the range on some of Ventari's legendary Centaur Stand skills in this update to make it a little easier to affect your allies with them.
That's cool.
Always good. Yep. Yeah, so Ventari's Will and Protective Solace have both had the radius of these skills increased from 180 to 240. That's a pretty sizable jump.
Yeah.
Moving on to Thief. We released a hotfix for Deadly Ambition for PvP in November, but in this update, we're addressing the issue with a more comprehensive and functional change to refocus the trait on control over its usage rather than being a very passive damage increase.
Yeah.
So for the details here, for Deadly Ambition, this trait now applies one stack of poison for 3 seconds while striking with a dual-wield attack. This effect has no cooldown, but can only occur once per dual-wield attack use. This trait is no longer split between game modes.
I actually haven't played Thief in a long time.
Me either. I've not played Thief since I raided, so...
Basically same.
It's been a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Warrior, along with the removal of falling damage effects and readjustment of peak performance, we are also removing the requirement from Sundering Mace that we felt was superfluous. Yeah. So that's it for Warrior, and that's it for our professions. And
scroll.
Yeah, then they listed PvP changes, which was a lot of increased, reduced, all in PvP only. So little things.
Wait. How dare you take these changes out?
Sorry.
But for SPVP and World versus World, they updated the background for the Icebrood Saga reward track. Hashtag!
Yeah, I know how important those visual changes are.
They are to me, actually.
They are actually important. You are correct and right to chastise me for.
Sorry, chat. Just Ivy saying they want an ornament roller beetle skin for... That looks like an ornament ball.
That would be so cute.
That would be super. An entire mount line for Winter's Day that looked like...
Ornaments?
Ornaments.
I could get behind that.
Me too. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yep. And you know how much I spend on the gem store, so...
Nothing. 25 gems. That's what you spend per year on the gem store.
Oh my gosh. It's so hard. All right.
But you got something you liked, so that's nice.
I did. So speaking of gems, we're now going to talk about the Blackline Trading Company gem store updates, new items and promotions. The new emblazoned cape is now available for 500 gems. I had a picture of it. It seems to have disappeared.
Yeah, but I never saw it here. Yeah, it has a lot of nice dye channels on it.
It does. And so I think it was a good choice as the first pay for cape. And it's a good price.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I think it's fair. I would not be happy if it was 2,000 gems. Like, wow. You know,
that would
custom mounts.
Oh, there'd be rage.
Yes, there would be. There's also a new Dreamwalker dagger available for 600 gems.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather nice.
It is really nice.
The thing about these is it's a little legendary looking, you know, it's got a really nice aura.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have, well, I guess I don't know, but I would expect it wouldn't have draw effects or footfalls.
That's true.
So
that is true. And then the Black Lion Industry contract. What's a contract?
I don't know.
We have been substituting the wrong vowels all night. Don't know what this is. All right. No. Black Lion Industry contract. For 1,000 gems. Use this contract to collect basic crafting materials of your choice. Each delivery has a small chance to contain surplus goods. So you can get cloth scraps, leather sections, metal ore, wood logs, and jewels.
And these are part and parcel. Like there's the season 3 board and the season 4 board. So yeah, the hunter's contract. So this is one of those style things. So it will be in your home instance. And that's where you would go to select it. And then it would be mailed to you on at reset. And
did you buy this?
No, but I did think I was reading through the list of things you got. And I'm like, man, maybe not. And then I realized, oh, jewels are on there.
What do you want jewels for?
I hardly get any jewels from logging or mining.
Really?
Yes, I hardly get anything. Oh. It's mining. I think you get them from not. The other, but yeah, I hardly get any.
All right, well,
so I have reasons. Oop. Oh, wait, that's me. That's my color.
It's you. It's you.
I was waiting for you to start so I can mute my purple mic too deep. So that I can say hello to Czar in chat. But now I'm just going to say hi and then move on.
Hello, Czar.
Hello. A very merry winter's day begins December 17th. Not yesterday like we were expecting. The annual Winter's Day Festival arrives next week. Participate in traditional festivities like Toypocalypse and Bell Choir. Leap from snowflake to snowflake in the Winter Wonderland Jumping Puzzle. Brave the secret lair of the snowman Strike Mission. Was it called Strike Mission last year? Or was it Mini Dungeon?
I feel like it was Mini Dungeon.
Yeah. And deliver gifts to orphans in Divinity's Reach. We've got presents for you, too. Earn rewards for completing achievements and open Winter's Day gifts for holiday sweets and surprises. So we don't know when it ends. There's been no end date announced. Mm-hmm. When did Winter's Day start last year? I actually meant to check this.
So I think it started like the 14th or something like that.
It's not that far off then.
No. And I wonder here. So 17th to the 24th, that's 1 week. And then to the 31st. So they're not going to end it on New Year's. So I'm thinking, right? So I'm thinking we're going to get 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look. So last year it was the 11th to the 2nd.
That's 3 weeks. So.
And this one is saying that, the wiki is saying the 17th to the 7th.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
But I don't know if the 7th is a guess. So
this year, one of my goals for Winter's Day, we'll see if this happens, the jumping puzzle. So 2 years ago, somewhere in there is when I started playing with a mouse and had my first Winter's Day success with the puzzle. So I had 2 years where I was just happy to actually be completing the puzzle on easy mode. Last year, I became really comfortable with mid and
Quaggin,
wondering that, yeah, like the gingerbread, I think, is the... And then, so I'm wondering if this year will be the year of... Is it snowman at the top?
I can't remember. I'm still kind of bitter that they changed those paths. So
Yeah. I know. So maybe this year I will move on to the harder path. We will see if that will take place. But I have grown to love jumping puzzles in the past 3 years since I actually learned how to play this game.
The path that I have the most muscle memory with is, I don't know if it's the most difficult or the second most difficult.
I feel like it's snowman. I feel like you tend to go for that one.
Yeah, so it's the one with my muscle memory, but yeah, I also am not fast enough for it. So, it's like problems.
Oh no.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to Winter's Day. It's always fun. I'm going to have to play remotely for the bulk of its time in game. I did not word that well, but you know, like for when it's around. And so it's not an optimal experience, but it'll be fine.
Yeah, I am away, also remote for the week before Christmas, but then I am home for the rest. So we will see.
Yeah. And Zero is saying that it was also the move from the Mac to the gaming PC for you hashtag that made it easier. And that is the thing.
So
my laptop that I will be gaming on while I'm away is a MacBook. So that's
like, one frame per second. I was playing on great. A MacBook Air. When I first started playing.
Yes, I can't. I'm shocked.
And without
a mouse. Well, the fact that you wanted to continue playing at all is a miracle to me.
Well, but it's why like I had such ingrained habits because you were forced to, you know, do things a certain way. So it took a long time to finally swap to the mouse. But now I can't go back. Like, oh.
I'd be wanting to also laptop, do the Winter's Day jumping puzzle on a Norn. See, that's the thing. I also need to be on an Azura for the Winter's Day one. I even try it on a human and it just even though it shouldn't make any difference, it just throws me off.
Yeah, I can't do it on anything but Hash.
Yeah.
That's my visual.
But my main sense is not an Azura, so That's,
yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
I don't know what's up
with that. You do that for Jersey also. Do you play Jersey for Halloween too? No, you don't.
Dork is Halloween.
Yeah, dork. All right.
Actually spelled D-V-O-R-K. The V is silent.
good times.
This week, we have a default mail carrier message from an amazing listener and guilty Coffee and Quests. Long time no see. So, A, welcome back. And two, I am also back. Hadn't had much time to play in the last couple months, but I'm glad there was an episode being recorded when I came back. I know you didn't get into spoiler territory this past episode, but I wanted to say I'm way into the smaller, more focused episode format. I really like the horror adjacent vibe that everything about this episode pulled from urban legends and similar stuff from the genie or genre. I don't know why I said genie.
Oh my gosh.
My mouse was over it, over the R. My mouse cursor. Anyway, not much to add since I'm just catching up on achievements from last season, but I'm glad you're back. Thanks, seeing you. And I've actually heard a few people say that they really like the smaller, more focused. Like, I mean, I've heard both. Like, there's definitely a range of feelings about that. But I have heard definitely people saying that they like the smaller, digestible content.
I want to say I agree, but
you need to wait. My mouth. You need to feel it out and see how it feels after a few. I think
I'm still on the fence about the size of this update. I'm still on the fence with this mentality of it's smaller because we're going to get them more frequently. I need to have like 4 months of content evidence to see like what's the drop rate of content and what's the quality of content. I think what was a little frustrating for me was one of the big parts of this last update was the new masteries. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't really found the rock, paper, scissors nature of it very compelling. It's felt a little bit like you don't really even need to very much know what's going on aside from perhaps if you're doing the strike missions. So it just feels a little forced. But I will say, the other masteries, there was also that problem as well. Like masteries that unlocked, let's say, you know, a vendor or, you know, the language things for like the new hawk or whatever that would unlock different abilities in the zone. I feel like it was sold as being a much cooler thing to level up these masteries. But in practice, some of it just felt kind of like a one and done achievement sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that they're still trying to find the right cadence, because here it felt like, okay, we're ready for we're ready for some new masteries. Let's do it. But I feel like there's part of me that didn't want to have to know, like, do I have to swap masteries to go from like red to blue to green? That would be really tough if you did have to swap masteries. But the fact that you don't have to swap masteries means you don't really have to think. So it loses a little bit of its...
You do have to recognize when they're hanging out on the ground and collect them, though. Like,
that is true.
You will, but then you don't. But then you don't go if you're moving around.
I say that, but then like you don't go look. Like, it's not like, oh, my green's all full up. Let me go do X, Y, Z.
No, but you're probably going to be entering combat anyway.
Exactly.
So I just within the last day or so filled. Is it resilience? The blue one.
I don't know.
The first level of that. So now I can actually pick up these things. And so when I'm fighting, I'm like, oh, I got to click, got to get them all. So I'm like running over them specifically to try get them.
Yeah, it remains to be seen what the new masteries will be as the saga continues. Mm-hmm. I think people were really excited about the idea of the masteries when it came to the Norn, mythology. So
that's true.
The idea of Raven, what does that mean? And people were wondering,
it means stupid if it was going to tie that have obviously right answers.
Right? Well, they were wondering if it meant that not. It was going to be sort of similar to some of the Norn shape-shifting abilities. Like, yeah. would you have some of those skills and things like that? And so the fact that, like, you can interact with a totem and unlock a door just doesn't – I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's part of the storyline. I feel like, okay, Raven gets a pass because it's part of the story for this one. But what are they going to add next? How are they going to continue to build it? So all this to say, I am still on the fence about small, but I think that it wasn't as intriguing and interesting gameplay as it could be.
Actually, one of the things, I don't know if we talked about it last episode or not, but one of the things I really like about the new map is there's still updrafts and there's jumping mushrooms. And
yeah, I mean, I think they had to do that because you can't assume. No, I mean, like, you can't assume that people have mounts.
No, but I still feel, I feel like it could be easy to forget that those exist.
That's true.
And so I actually noticed that they were there. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Maybe I noticed they were more there because it's a wintry map, which seemed out of place because they were introduced in more jungly and then we went desert. And now maybe it's just the snowy part of it that is but that get there in Thunderhead Keep. So what am I talking about? Never mind.
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
All right. Well, thank you, C&Q.
Thanks for writing in. Thank you for writing in.
Thank you. And that's it. That's the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact me #, on Twitter at #thetag. That's 2 A's. Actually, it's 3 A's. You know, it's weird when I say 2 A's because, you know.
That's why I spell out H-A-A-S-H.
There we go. Yes. H-A-A-S-H, the T-A-G. Or SIG. SIGG.1735 in game. You can engage Alona at one big pair or in game at onebigpair.1249.
As in the fruit.
Yes, pair as the fruit. And as mentioned at the top of the show, you message both of us, not just one of us, both of us at once at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon using your trusty tweeter machine.
But realistically, it's just me because #, never checks them.
Yeah.
But I will let her know they're there. If you address hashtag directly, I will let her know and she will then go and check it.
Yeah, it's true. You can subscribe to Hosts of Ascalon on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher, or you can hop over to our website, hostsofascalon.com, to either listen directly or nab the RSS to use with your preferred podcast app. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon every third-ish Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be either January 8th or the 15th. We'll see how things are going. So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. We will also be putting out a blast probably on Twitter to ask for predictions because our annual prediction show coming up in January.
Yep.
So we want to hear from you all what your predictions are for the 2020 year.
Have you looked back at any of your predictions to see where?
Not yet.
No, I haven't. I haven't either.
Plaid features heavily there.
And we also can go over because Boots was on doing, they were on with their predictions. That's right. Yeah. So
That's right. So we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Mm-hmm. And good show, Lona.
Yay.
Thank you to our Twitch squad for coming out to the live show. Had a lot of people here tonight. It was great to see you all. To them and to everyone listening, deck the guild halls and make them merry. Winter's Day is coming fast.